Okay. Well, I'll say Hatsume again.
Hatsume.
Today's notes are, these were given to me by Sherilyn. And as I've said many times, anytime you guys want to share what you're studying with me, and I'm more than happy to put it together. Of course, I've added my own things and some of my own thoughts as well here today. And I think it goes pretty well with what we listened to yesterday with respect to angels and how they interface with us and how we can empower them, because that is intervention, is it not, from the spirit world, right? It is. We live in a physical world, but we also have, I've said many times that the physical world we live in is really the kind of the fake world. The reality is, we think it's real, right? But in reality, the reality is the world that we can't see. But anyway, today's message is entitled Miracles. The word itself is defined by Webster as a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. I thought was an interesting definition. I mean, this image here represents, of course, Yeshua walking on water. Certainly a miracle by that definition. It's impossible by natural means or scientific laws for the surface tension of water to support a human being. It can't happen, yet it did. And by God doing so as creator, it revealed his ultimate authority over nature itself, over all of his creation. If you remember, after he walked on water, he also calmed that storm after he walked over there, and it obeyed what he said. So I'm sure that those guys in that boat and those that witnessed this miracle, was a miracle. It must have been incredibly encouraging, I would think. Very humbling, very awe-inspiring. In fact, the Bible says that, who is this that the wind and the waves obey his voice, right? So as human beings that only exist in this natural plane, we're fascinated by miracles, aren't we? We love to hear about them. And many times they encourage us and they strengthen our faith, because we kind of get to see beyond our physical, and it makes God seem a little closer. Mom, if you would you please mute your phone? Anyway, with eyes to see, miracles are around us everywhere, aren't they? God's imprint is all through this creation. Even in science, we see things like seeds, or our DNA. Okay, does that sound like a miracle to you? Well, it should, because the programming that is in those seeds and the programming that is in our DNA did not come from the natural world. Okay, it came from outside the natural world. And so by that definition, DNA, seeds, things like that are not explicable by natural or scientific laws. They exist, but they don't exist as a consequence of the natural world. Okay? So they are, in that sense, they are miracles. And they're all around us. Every single one of us, in that sense, is a miracle because of that programming. Right? Because it demanded an intelligence and an outside interference of the physical world. That's just the facts. So, by definition, there are miracles all around you if you just have eyes to see them. Yeshua was plain about the fact that things are done outside the physical. He said in Luke 18, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Why? Because he's not restricted to the physical. Life itself is possible. And life itself is impossible without him, right? Without his programming. Sherilyn and I have witnessed three miracles, direct miracles in our life. The birth of our children. They're miracles. Because life itself comes from that DNA that is programmed outside the physical world. So yeah, life is a miracle. How else does something so incredible happen? I mean, a human being grows inside of its mother, and it starts from what? A couple of little blobs of goo. But those in those little globs of goo is programming. It is intelligence, right? And then he grows, and then, you know, he says, okay, I'm coming out, you know, it's ready, right? So we got to be able to open our eyes and see the trees. You know, there's that saying, can't see the forest for the trees. Well, what do trees spring forth from? Seeds, programming. Science still does not have a clue how that works, because it's outside of their realm. It's outside of the physical world. Every tree out there, every plant, everything you see that has this program, everything, it's all a miracle. We live in a miraculous world, but we just think that it's, oh, well, this is real. No, well, yeah, no, it's all miracles. But we also like those special miracles, don't we? The ones that, you know, where God reveals himself in these little small or sometimes very specific ways, like walking on water, okay? That's not like a tree that you see every day, okay? That's pretty cool, you know? And those things tend to stand out. And again, these events, when they happen, they tend to either, you know, directly or indirectly, I mean, depending on how you view them, I mean, they really tend to strengthen our faith. And it's very exciting, very encouraging. So we ask the question, are you in need of a miracle? Are you in need of a miracle? In this world right now, it's gone, as I was praying a minute ago, it's upside down. It's crazy. We go through our days, and once in a while we get to see a miracle. Even today in these times, we get to see them. And we experience things sometimes and think, well, did that really just happen? Sherilyn and I, one time, we had been married about 6 years or so, and we were driving in Kansas City. And there was a wreck up ahead. And so the traffic had really, you know how it does, it just kind of bunches up on you, right? It just, all of a sudden everything starts to slow and everything bunches up. And, you know, we had the girls, Kristalyn and Bree were little, and they were in the back seat and in their car seats all bundled up, safe and sound. But we were traveling along, and we had slowed down to probably about 30, 35 miles an hour, maybe a little faster than that, probably not. It was about like that. And there was a car next to us, of course. There was a car in front. I mean, they're all around us, okay. And at one point in time, and I mean, it's hard to explain this because everything that I'm going to tell you now all happened within a second or two. Okay, and it left us bewildered. Okay, we're traveling along. I'm in the car. Sherilyn's sitting here. Kids are in the back. There's a car over here, and there's a car in front of them. There's a car in front of me, and there's a car coming up this side. And right at that moment that he got up here, all at the same time, the people in front of me panic stopped. And I mean, he's coming. Just that quick. At that same moment, this guy who has now come up a little past me, he doesn't see me anymore, and he starts to make a lane change. So I got no way to go this way. Panic stop in front of me, and this guy coming into my lane. All of that happened all at once, and Sherilyn and I both felt the car lunge like that. Just like that. And that next instant, we were over here next to the car in front of us. We had no idea how we got there. No idea. We both went like that, and then we looked at each other, and we both got, we're like, did that just really just happen? What just happened? We didn't know what happened, but we knew what happened couldn't have happened. It was weird. It was weird. We had absolutely no place to go. And it just in an instant, we were completely free of the whole entire situation. It was bizarre. That we still talk about it because we just have no idea. You know, we just looked at each other and that's what we said. Did that just happen? Did that really happen? So we just had to just thank God for his deliverance. You know, Sherilyn had a wreck once before, and before that, and we went out to where the car was out by Lecompton, and it ended up crossways in the ditch. And the car, the skid marks were like this, and then she said she felt the car lift up. The car lifted up and turned sideways and sat itself down in the ditch. It was bizarre. I remember the time that we were in the living room. You used to come up and sit on my lap, right? And then you'd get up and she'd sit on the arm of the chair. And one day we were wrestling around, you know, like we do, and she fell backwards, and there was a brick hearth there. And her head, she went backwards like that, and the full force of just her head hit right on the corner of that brick fireplace. And the sound that emitted from that, this story doesn't really ring very true unless you had a recording of that sound. That it sounded exactly like her entire head just popped open. I mean, like a watermelon hitting, and just, I mean, it was horrifying. And I jumped up and reached up and grabbed her like this. Blood everywhere. And I'm like, honey, we gotta go. And I start running for the door. And I'm just freaking out. And so she goes to grab Brianna, and we start to leave, and we're just saying, you know, those quick prayers. You know, it's not like you get on your, oh, Heavenly Father. No, it's just like, oh, God, help us, right? And so after that, I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden, I mean, she was screaming. She was just absolutely screaming. And then just all of a sudden, she just stopped. She was like, oop. And I'm like, okay. So then I brought her up, and I looked at the back of her head. The only place there was any blood was on my hand. I had blood all over my hand and down my arm. And there was a little bit of blood, just a little tiny bit, in her hair. And she was fine. She was fine. I mean, those things happen. They happen because we have a God that loves us. You guys probably remember Brody when she's probably never heard this story, but, or maybe you haven't either, but Brody, one day when we were in Colorado, I had put in a gas fireplace, you know, the big glass front on it, and it was had been running for a long time, and we hadn't gotten around to putting a screen up on there yet, because we didn't need to quite for the girls. Brody had just started walking, right about that age, right there, And he got away from his mom. She was in the kitchen. And he had crawled over and crawled up there. And then he lost his balance and fell forward and caught himself with his hands on that glass. Now that glass, let me tell you, that glass, if you walked up and went like that to it, you'd burn yourself that quick. And he was stuck because his weight had gone forward and he was just leaning on it and screaming his head off. Yeah, just leaning on it. Sherilyn went in there and grabbed him, ran him into the kitchen. She's just praying, you know, God help us, God help us, God help us. Oh, no, 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 God help us. And, you know, putting cold water under. And he was screaming his head off. And then all of a sudden, stopped crying. She pulled his hands up and they weren't even red. They weren't even red. They were absolutely perfect. That doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen. So, you know, those kind of things, they build your faith. And I mean, you can look at things like that and say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't. Well, and maybe her head wasn't really. Or maybe when Brianna, you know, Sherilyn calls this a miracle. And it is in the fact that when, especially in this idea of talking about angels and how that they interact with us and stuff. You know, one day we had this huge snowstorm and she was out in her little snowsuit walking around. There was 2 to 4 feet of snow in different places. I mean, it was one of those big spring storms. And she was walking across the top of the snow, you know, on the, like, the crusty part of the snow. And Sherilyn's over here doing whatever, and then she looks over, and Brianna's just gone. And she panics, right? You know, how you do? I mean, where'd she go, right? And we're on a mountain. There's all kinds of trees and stuff up there. I mean, but she prayed, and God gave her the presence of mind to follow and led her right to the spot where the crust broke, and she went straight down, like this, because her little hands went up, and she's trapped. She couldn't even yell out because there's snow in her face. She would have probably strangled. You know, she was little. You were a little kid, right? I mean, light enough you could walk around on the crust of the snow, right? Okay. And God, the angels, I'm sure, led her right to where she was, and she pulled her out very quickly. So you don't discount those things, you know? And God hears those prayers. This angelic realm that's around us hears us when we say, God, help us. Father, help me. Well, they have been put here to help us. And they can respond. And that is that not the definition of a miracle? When there is something that is outside of the natural that intervenes inside the natural world, right? We've had so many things like that, you know, happen over the years. You know, God's mercy is it's amazing. You know, we have other examples from all of our kids. You know, here we are 30 plus years later, and we're still married, and we thank God for that miracle too. You know, because seriously, we recognize God's intervention in our marriage. We have needed His help over and over again. We still do, you know. And so we need to check ourselves. To are we tapping in to that power? Are we Are we recognizing that it's there? Are we calling out for it? Are we checking that power? You know, we check our cell phone power. We check our car battery power. We check our laptop power, you know. Are we checking our spirit? Are we checking that connection? As we work and we deal with relationships, we raise children and grandchildren, we do church services and we volunteer and we, you know, work and we grocery shop and we do all these things, and we need to realize that we need to stop. And it's a good thing about this feast, and it's a good thing about the Sabbath, that we stop and recharge those batteries and recharge that spiritual connection. Well, what does that look like? I mean, of course, you know, we talk about the Sabbath each week, and that's a great way, the main way that we recharge. God knew that we needed that, right? We can also go to bed a little earlier instead of watching TV. We can take a power nap here and there. And we can take a casual walk before or after work and give the mind a chance to rest as well. The big way that we do that is through prayer. That's when we're plugging in, right? And recharging. We can go to God. And we can do that, guys. I mean, you need to have a quiet time, and you need to have a time to really do that. But don't discount also that we're called to walk with God. I mean, you can talk to God anytime, right? I mean, you know, when you're in your car, when you're, you know, reading, whatever. Okay? So, I want to I want to talk about how we kind of expand our minds a little bit by looking at our lives a different way, looking for miracles, being open to and subject to existing with a mindset of the spirit world. We need to start thinking about how much God loves us, about how He is involved in our lives, that we're not alone. Okay, each and every one of us. He loves us. He cares for us. I mean, everybody on this planet. So we need to start doing that. And He has called us at this time, and it's time like no other, to know Him in a way that few do. And it's not to, you know, puff us up or make us feel special or anything. It should overwhelm you with His mercy. It's meant to humble us with thanksgiving. It's meant to cause us to drop to our knees with love and reverence for Him. And when you do, you'll see His work in your life. You'll see miracles. You'll see them where other people won't. Do you recognize the fact that you sitting here right now at the Feast of Tabernacles in this room is a miracle? It is. Using our definition, it's anything that would happen without outside interference, without outside physical interference. And us being here is not from the physical world, it's from God. We would not be here except for His calling and His grace. Right? It has to be from Him. And so we are going about our own business, right? And then one day he you know, gives this download of curiosity, or He puts people in our lives that make us, that He speaks through. And he is the one that gave us outside interference into our physical world to even give us a desire to be here, okay? A curiosity, a want to, of knowing Him. And so then we take these little baby steps, and we're still taking them, aren't we? Day by day, we learn, and then the more we accept what God shows us, then He gives us a little bit more. And a little bit more, we study His Word, and then we draw closer to Him, and He gives us that desire, right? We get baptized, and we commit to Him, And when we're faithful to that calling, then what? We're blessed with the Holy Spirit, which then is more interference, right? From the spirit world. It comes and lives in us, and we get the power to follow God and His calling. God gives us the want to, and He gives us the power to do what we need to honor and follow Yeshua. The gift of receiving God's Holy Spirit is one of, if not the biggest miracle we will experience in this lifetime. And you've all experienced it. Our heart and minds are changed, right? They are transformed and they're renewed. And that is not from us. It is a miracle, just as big or bigger than walking on water. And we see a lot of miracles in that Bible, you know, with the parting of the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho falling down just from people marching around it and you know, blowing trumpets and yelling, right? I mean, come on. We had just, it's a miracle of the first man being just made out of dust, right? There's so many on the list. But do you recognize as you're reading those things in your Bible that you are a miracle? You. Not only is it miraculous from even a physical standpoint because of the DNA that's in you that made what you are, but the fact that you have a insight and a view towards God and a desire to know Him, that is a miracle as well. I truly believe that. The fact that you know that there is a God, that you know He has a plan, that you know who your Savior is, and really understand what that means, you didn't do that on your own. You accepted it. You're working with it. But you did not first engage in that process. You know, Yeshua lives for us. He's called a lot of people, and I'm very thankful for that. But it says that many are called, but few are chosen. And we need to set ourselves to make sure that we are chosen, okay? That whole series I did on the Bride of Christ, that if that didn't wake you up, you need to go back and listen to it again. Because not everybody that is at that wedding supper is the bride. Not everyone that had a lamp had it full of oil. So we need to understand that. We have hope and we have a future that there are most people out there just don't even have a clue about. You realize that? Do you fully appreciate the miracle that God has executed in your life? The mercy that He has shown you in allowing you to know some of the things that we know. And we still see through a glass darkly, guys. We got a lot to learn. We got a lot more that we need to absorb, okay? But we need to cherish what God has given us. We need to understand that it's a miracle, that it's blessings. Can you imagine trying to go through what we're going through right now with this world and as upside down as everything is, without the perspective of what's really going on behind the scenes? I don't know. I'd be scared to death. And that's what's going to happen, right? The Bible says that in days, men, their hearts will fail them for fear. Why? Because everything physical that they rely on and that is their support, it's going to completely crumble. You get that? And they're going to be so afraid. Why? Because they won't be able to see past the physical and really be able to discern what's going on and be able to say in their heart it's okay. God's got it. This is what's going to happen. It's all right. Take my life. I'm ready. See? It's a whole different perspective. And that perspective comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from Him intervening in our heart and our mind. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. So we need to praise Him. We need, you know, it's why. I know I play that song every year, and you guys, maybe you just stomach it. I don't know. But once again, it brought tears to my eyes when I think about the New Jerusalem. And how everybody in that first stanza of that song, they're in Jerusalem and everybody's singing and everybody thinks everything's okay and they don't realize that it's not. And then the next one comes and Yeshua has to die on that stake in Jerusalem. And then the next one is, man, the gates are open wide and all who would might enter and no one is denied. There's no need for sun or moon. Because God is there and His presence is there and all of this physical stuff is busted through and the new heaven and the new earth come and the reality comes. And it moves me. Because, guys, that should be your heart's desire. Your heart. That's what it wants. It doesn't want this anymore. It wants the reality of what's to come. And so we endure through what we're doing as birth pains, you know, for the birth of the kingdom of God. Is that your heart? Is that your desire? And so we praise God. We thank Him for living in us and being just a continual miracle. And we need to be grateful for that. There's a wonderful scripture to pray out loud. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Do you get that? He wants to continue to show us great and mighty things. He wants to share Himself with us. His mind and His character and His love, His presence. Are you willing to ask? Call to me. Ask me. Are you willing? Do you want a miracle? Do you need a miracle? Ask Him. Are we just going to give up in this mess of a world? You know? So the saying is that bad things happen when good people do nothing. Well, we need to not be doing nothing. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. We need to be growing closer to Him. So what can we do to get the help we need to bless others and to activate God's angelic realm to experience even more miracles? We're told that in Matthew 7. Starting in verse 7, He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? No." It's not even what we do in the physical realm. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those that ask Him?" Do you think when we ask God for more spiritual gifts that He'll ignore us? No. He's waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to call out to Him. He's waiting for you to say, "Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Help me to understand." You got to seek. It's got to be a passion. It's got to be what you live for. This world is fake. Trump talks about fake news. Well, guess what? This isn't the reality. And so we need to be looking for and seeking and pressing in for the actual reality, for the miracle of life. If you want your prayers answered to witness that miracle of knowing He hears you, then you need to ask. You need to seek and knock and desire more of God, more time with Him, more of His Spirit, more of His understanding, more of His love. And it's precious. It's miracles in the making. Is there anything more important than this? Look at Matthew 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. You know, that's going and knocking on the spiritual door. This is how we penetrate outside of this physical world into the miracles. Some will say, well, I don't have time. Well, time is God's. God created it. It's His. If you take the time to talk to God and to do and put Him first in that way, I can promise you, on the authority of God Himself, know this for a fact, if you will take that time and do that, God will change time for you, and you will get more accomplished. You think you don't have time. You do. It's the same principle as tithing. We think, okay, well, how can I tithe? I can't even make it on what I got. But then you take that 10% and you tithe on it, and you do it because you want to, right? It's a heart thing. And then, lo and behold, somehow, that 90% ends up going to what 120% would have been before. It just does. I don't know how it does it, but it does it. It's the same thing with your time. It's no different. It's no different. We gotta have eyes to see that spirit world, the reality of what's out there. Okay? You know, and you think, well, maybe I'm not very spiritual. I'm not good enough to talk to God, or I'm not very good at that. Well, you know what? It's God that changes us. So, you know what? This is a bad saying. It's probably not the great way to put it, but fake it till you make it. Okay? Go there. You know, I've had to do this. Sometimes I go to God and I'm just in a funk, and I'll just go down in my office and I'll kneel down. I'm like, God, I don't want to be here. I'm having a bad attitude right now. I know I should be praying, but I'm not feeling it. I mean, look, God knows your heart. You can't tell Him anything He doesn't already know. You know, there's no sense in messing around. And so then I'll say, okay, so God, you know what? I'm just gonna praise You. And pretty soon, you know, after I praise Him for a while, guess what? The heart changes. He answers that prayer. And then we have a nice time together. All I can say is that you have to press through, right? You have to press through the physical to get to those miracles. If you're not motivated, then own that. And go to God and say, I'm not motivated. Help me. That's the asking, that's the seeking, and that's the knocking, and it's being real about it. Okay? Because we have to understand, what did I say? We're all here because God intervened, right? Well, He does the same thing over and over again. The want to be with Him, the want to follow Him, the desire, that comes from God. Because your heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. Who should know it? Right? So we just continue to ask and seek and knock and ask Him, give me the motivation. Ask Him to heal your heart. And just realize where you're at. If you're going through the undulations, as Brody gave us that message years ago of life, okay? Because if you can do that, We can translate from the physical to the spiritual, and it's available to anybody who will just ask, seek, and knock. Okay? You'll receive the best miracle there is, the very essence of your heavenly Father and your elder brother who went before you and gave his perfect life to wipe away our sins and to draw us near to the Father. That's why he did it. We can be filled every day, renewed afresh every day, and be recharged if we will just do that. Okay, Matthew 28. Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." To make disciples and share his plan of the future return of our King and to prepare to rule with him in the kingdom of God, we need miracles. We need to be asking and seeking and knocking for his intervention to cross that plane over into our physical world. His love, his spirit, his strength, his kindness and mercy can be embedded into us if we just desire it. There's no room in any of this for self-righteousness or pride because all of it comes from God. It's his gift. It's his gift to all that he will that will ask for it, that will submit to it. Okay? John 3:16. Anybody familiar with this one? John 3:16. It's a shame we don't read it more. We don't read it more because it's been, I don't know, I'm going to read it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Not life limited in our physical, having to get sleep and having to eat and having to do that, but life that is within us in abundance. A life that draws energy directly from God, okay? In a relationship with him and his Son. He wants everyone to be with him forever. But you have to believe and you have to have that faith. And even that faith comes from God. Because whoever believes in him, right? So if you believe, you're going to study, you're going to pray, you're going to obey him, and you're going to desire more of him, you're going to want every little clue that you can get about how he wants life to be, what this life is going to be like. And begin to try to conform to that and make that happen. That's what we're here for. And he's saying, I'm here. Seek me. Guys, I'm standing at the door. Isn't that what the word says? I stand at the door and knock. See, he's knocking too. And so if we're not on the other side and we're knocking, the door's going to get opened. Okay? Open the door, guys. Open the door. He says, I'm standing at the door and I knock. Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a blessing that is. God's mercy is a miracle. Because, again, it comes from outside. It comes from outside the physical. He's touching our physical lives from the spirit realm. It's literally a miracle that I'm standing here. I mean, without God, what would I... I mean, I'd probably be out doing what? I'd be racing cars or flying an airplane or doing who knows what. I don't know. But I'm not. Why? Why? Because this has grown in a place in my heart because of his intervention that this is better. This is the reality. Okay? Psalm 8, verse 4 and I said 5 here, don't know why, but anyway, verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. I think about this all the time. Because if it was not for the miracle defined by something happening outside the physical, him being mindful of us and calling us to himself, we would want nothing to do with God. Nothing at all. And what should our response be? James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Well, that makes sense. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a promise. You understand that? In the Word of God. If you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And that's why I'm saying, if you're not feeling it that day, draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. It's a promise. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, when we are faithful and we step out in obedience and we take time off work and our normal lives and everything to attend things like this and God's appointed times and the Sabbath and those things, then we receive encouragement. We receive power. We get fellowship. And all of this, you know, helps us get through the next week, or in the case of the feast, through the next year, right? And so we can live not in fear of the physical and everything that surrounds us, but in the miraculous power of who God is. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard. Love this scripture. It's a promise. It, read it and think about what it's saying. In context of miracles, in context of we being in a physical realm and wanting to interface with the spirit realm, he's saying that what is here, what you can see with your eyes and what you can hear with your ears, it's not anything comparable to that spirit realm. You can't even imagine. It says, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That means we can't even conjure up in our mind. I mean, the greatest life, the greatest ambition and peace and purity and relationships. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, maybe, that about how God loves. We talked about we get a child and we think, man, we just can't love any more than that. And we get another one and all of a sudden we can. And that God loves everybody that way. It was amazing when I thought about that. She's got the cord. That God loves everyone like that, and we will as well. Can you imagine that? I mean, I love all of you guys, but I mean, I have to be honest. Right now, there's people I don't love as much as I love you guys, right? So, we can't wrap our head around what it's going to be like. It's going to be that great. God has a very precious and wonderful future laid out for us. We need to remember to tap into that, to look for the miracles, to live a miracle. You can live a miracle. You can be a miracle. You are a miracle. So we need to reach out. We need to recharge every day. We need to receive the help we so desperately need by resting in God more and more. Unleash the power, guys, that ignites miracles when we ask for them. We need to seek, we need to knock, and we need to be wanting the great and mighty things that God says that we don't know. God is waiting to give us all of this in abundance if we would just open our eyes, bond with Him, and walk with Him. Miracles await, dear family. So let us all praise Yeshua Messiah and look forward to everything that this feast pictures for us. Amen.